Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to begin to look at what Jude taught about how to combat heresy. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude verses 17 through 21 together. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Now, over the last several months, you and I have carefully examined the first 16 verses of the Epistle of Jude, and I want to thank you for all the phone calls and letters that you have sent in, and I pray that these broadcasts have been a great blessing and encouragement to you. As you know, I never make any mention of support on the radio, but I spend every second of radio time preaching and teaching the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. We're sending out about 150 CDs each month to people all over the country, free of charge, because I want to be very careful not to make merchandise of the Word of God. There is truly only one goal of this radio ministry, and that is to allow the glorious truth of God's Word to be revealed to you one verse at a time. In each of these broadcasts, I seek to ask and answer three questions. Number one, what did God the Holy Spirit actually say? Number two, what did God mean by what he said? And number three, how can we apply this eternal truth to our lives in the 21st century? Now, there are only 25 verses in the entire Epistle of Jude, and some of you have wondered why I'm taking this long to go over 25 little verses. The reason is that the goal of the Bible study is not to simply get finished, but to actually learn what God said so that we may know. Jude is the only book in the Bible that deals exclusively with false teaching and heresy, and this is a subject that is very important to us today because very bad unscriptural doctrine abounds in our day. I have honestly tried to go over each verse carefully with you so as to treat the scriptures fairly. I have an enormous respect for the Word of God because I believe that it is the single most important book that we have on this earth. So I do not believe in skimming over any of the holy words of the Bible in order to get to the parts that we deem to be more important. I believe that every single word in this book is inspired, and I believe that as God's children, we have a duty and an obligation to study them and to know them and to love them and obey them and to honor them. So that is why I conduct the studies the way that I do. There is absolutely no way for us to know God in fullness, dear friends, and there is no way that we can exercise spiritual discernment in our lives without a clear and precise understanding of the Scriptures. And I am a simple man, and I believe that if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, then it is probably a duck. So if somebody bears a resemblance to the attributes that Jude describes in this epistle, if he teaches things contrary to sound doctrine, if that person bears the bad fruit that Jude clearly laid out for us in this epistle, there's a real good chance that that person is a false teacher, a heretic, and someone that we should avoid and reject. So I have worked very hard to give you a clear and precise understanding of exactly what Jude was talking about. Now it's up to you to receive this or reject it. And you can get offended by what I've taught here, but nobody can say that I have not made the Epistle of Jude to be clear. Now we're entering into a very important part of this study. Jude spent the first 16 verses of this epistle giving us a description of who the heretics are in their own personal lives and also the characteristics of the bad things they will teach. And so now that we have learned who the heretics are, now that we know what their attributes and characteristics are, we can now begin to learn what we are supposed to do about them when we meet them and what we are to do when we are confronted with what they teach. Now, one of the most common questions that I get is this: what do I do when my church is teaching false heresy or false doctrine? Many people are earnestly trying to serve the Lord, but they're having a hard time finding a church that actually teaches the Bible and doesn't teach what is simply popular. So, Lord willing, over the next several broadcasts, we will explore the answer to that important question. So let's read verse 17 again together. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in verse 17, Jude exhorted his readers to remember the truths they had already heard, the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, who predicted the coming of these false teachers. Now it was the Lord himself who was the first one in the New Testament to warn against false teachers. Let's read Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20 together. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Also, when the disciples wanted to know about the coming of the Lord and the end of the age, Jesus did not begin the discussion by telling them about the mark of the beast or the temple being rebuilt in Jerusalem or the Antichrist or the supercomputer in Brussels, Belgium, but was very clear about what sign was preeminent. Let's read Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." Now, many people in the modern church do not view heresy or spiritual apostasy as being a big deal. Sound biblical doctrine is viewed today by many people, even by many church leaders, as being kind of in the way, a troubling, cumbersome aspect of church life, and something that is somewhat important, but certainly nothing to emphasize. In fact, one of the most popular statements that can be made today is for someone to say that doctrine is not nearly as important as personal relationships. I guess the biggest applause that I ever heard given to anyone in any church was when a visiting evangelist said that the trouble with the modern church was its doctrine, and the best way to have a real good move of God is to throw doctrine out the door. Well, I couldn't disagree with this man more. In my own research, I have found that Bible knowledge is at its lowest ebb since the church was founded in the upper room some 2,000 years ago. And I see that as being deeply and profoundly disturbing. And in fact, I see that as being one of the signs that we are living in the last days. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So while the biggest and most popular leaders of the modern church are routinely praised and applauded for denouncing the study and comprehension of sound biblical truth, the Apostle Paul, who I believe penned down words that came directly out of the mouth and mind and heart of God, instructed young Timothy to teach sound doctrine and to study the Scriptures and to show himself approved and to pay close attention to his teaching and to avoid those who didn't. So I see the willingness of so many today to so easily be fooled by ancient heresies as being a natural outflow of God's people not knowing what God has said. Truly, God spoke the truth when he told the prophet in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so I see heresy as a real and serious modern-day threat to biblical Christianity. And I see those who reject the Bible as being modern-day heretics. And I see those who denounce doctrine as being part of the problem. And I see the lack of willingness on the part of church leaders to obey the scriptures and to promote and teach sound biblical doctrine as being in direct rebellion to what we are commanded in the scriptures to do. And I think it's unconscionable for any church not to hold regular and serious Bible studies and prayer meetings. I think it is sinful and a sign of our backsliding that prayer meetings and Bible studies are the least attended services of almost any church. I think it is a reproach to Jesus Christ that fewer people today know church doctrine than they did 2,000 years ago when most people couldn't even read. Jesus warned his disciples that people would try to deceive them right before the return of the Lord, and I believe that we are living in that day. And that is why I'm being careful to go through each verse one at a time in this study, and that is why we all need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Now, let me give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. It is very popular, and I've heard this said many times, and some people have even said this to me. Brother Blair, we don't need doctrine. All we need is Jesus. We don't need to study doctrine like you're talking about. All we need to do is love Jesus. And that sounds so spiritual, and that sounds so wonderful until you press in a little bit and find out what they're talking about. For example, who is Jesus? Well, where do we go to find out who Jesus is? Well, where do we go to find out what Jesus did? Well, where do we go to find all that information out? We can't go to our dreams. We can't go to the angel. We can't go to the guy down the street. We have to go somewhere to find out who Jesus is so that we can love him like they say they want to love him. Well, who is Jesus? See, the Mormons say that Jesus was the half-brother of Lucifer. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was Michael the Archangel in the Old Testament. The Muslims say Jesus was just one of several different ways to heaven, and that, of course, Muhammad was the latest incarnation of the Paraclete. Well, but are those true? Well, no, they're not true. Well, how do we know they're not true? They all talk about Jesus. They all honor Jesus. They all respect Jesus. So if the goal is simply that we need to love Jesus, then those people would be in right standing with God. But they're not, because the Jesus that they love, the Jesus that they know, is not the biblical Jesus. And in order to understand who Jesus is in the right way, we have to read what God revealed about Jesus in the scriptures. And then we develop the characteristics and the attributes that Jesus said that he had. And we read what he did and what he taught, and we put all that together, and guess what you've got? You've got doctrine. You've got sound biblical doctrine about who Jesus is. And it is only by developing that sound biblical doctrine that you can actually love the real, sure enough Jesus. Other than that, you may be loving a Jesus that is not real. You may be loving a Jesus that was invented by real bad heretics. You may be loving a Jesus that doesn't exist. And so if you want to love the true Jesus, if you want to love the Savior, if you want to love the Son of God, if you want to love the incarnate God, if you want to love the sinless Lamb of God, then you have to get into the Bible and find out what the Bible reveals about Jesus, and you have to put all that down, and you have to understand it, and you put all that together, and that's who Jesus is. And then you need to love that. You need to love him. Well, that's why doctrine is important. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.